Rod Carew joins us on Sports Byline, Hall of Famer. He played 19 seasons, 12 with Minnesota, 7 with the Angels, led the American League in hitting 7 times, had 15 consecutive seasons hitting 300 or better, 18-time American League All-Star, Rookie of the Year, and MVP. And Rod's life is as unique as his baseball career is outstanding. He now has written his 7th book, and I recommend it to you. It's called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. Rod, I sense that with all you've gone through in your life, your Hall of Fame career, your daughter's illness and passing away, and also you having a heart transplant, you just had to write this book as an exclamation point to your life and career. Am I correct about that?
Yes, I think so. I think God wanted me to write this book, you know, because he knows that I've been doing a lot of work with cancer kids around the country, and he wanted me to do something else, you know, to get grown-ups to start thinking about the heart that they have, that he's given them to use well and to stay alive. And some of them, you know, keep screwing up. They're not doing the right things, like me.
What amazes you the most when you look back on your life path and also the challenges? What amazes you the most about that path you've taken?
Well, you know, growing up as an abused kid in Panama and having a dream to one day play baseball in this country in front of 40,000, 50,000 people, you know, that was something that I dreamed about, something that I kept in mind as I, you know, started growing up and started getting better, starting to improve in my baseball career, and you know, just doing the right thing so that I could get there.
You know, I've always found it interesting, and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this statement, Rod, but I think people who have been challenged early in their life, who have had to overcome certain things, that it makes them stronger along the way in the path. And so as you had to deal with other things in your career, like your daughter's passing away and then having a heart transplant, that maybe those earlier days made you stronger in order to be able to deal with those challenges.
Oh, definitely. You know, and the big plus, too, is if you have God in your pockets. Because if you have him in your pockets, like my mom used to tell me as a kid growing up, you know, God's always there with you. He's always going to help you. So you know, you give everything to him and say, okay, take me there. And I was so fortunate that he was in my pocket, and he's still in there anyway, trying to help me see what else there is in life that I can do to help him.
Take me back, Rod, to Panama and growing up as a kid.
Well, you know, I was an abused child growing up, and my dad, we had this little window in the house. So, you know, after school, you know, even if you can't go outside, you stay in the house. You know, I was always looking through that window at a certain time, say about 3:30, because I know he'll be coming up, walking across in my direction. And if I saw him walk in a certain way, I pulled out the rubber hose, I pulled out the iron cord, I pulled out a leather belt, and just kind of held him in my hand. So when he came in, he had his choice which one he was going to use today. And it happened so much that after a while, you know, I started trying to run away from home and not be there anymore, but always had to go back because I was growing up in a little country and no place to go but home. So it continued until I left Panama when I was about 14 years old.
Tell me about your mom.
Well, my mom was abused as much as I was. She took a lot of blows for me that my dad would try to get around her, and she would just stand there and take the blows for me. And I think the reason she did it is because, you know, when I was about 10 years old, I had rheumatic fever, and I was real sick. And I was in the hospital for about 8 months trying to break the fever and stuff. And My dad never came to see me when I was in the hospital. You know, my mom was there every day. And while I was in the hospital, you know, he was abusing her. You know, she came up one time and her eyes were bloodshot, and I asked her what happened. And he tried to choke her in her sleep. You know, he's just an evil man.
A lot of people may not know the story, but your mom was pregnant with you, and you decided you were going to make your entrance into the world. And pick up the story from there, Rod.
Well, yeah, she was on the hospital, and I decided it's time to come out and see what this big, big old world looks like. So on the train to Gorgas Hospital, she started having contractions, and then everything else started happening. I started to decide, well, it's my turn now. So in Panama, you have the black section and the white section. So there was a lady that was on the train that was back in Panama as visiting relatives. And she heard that my mom was having contractions. She came back and helped with the procedure of delivering me. And then after she delivered me, there is a doctor, a white doctor in the front of the train that came back and finished the work of delivering me. And my mom just named me on the spot. His name was Dr. Rodney Klein. So my name was, you know, Rodney Klein Carew. So we maintained a very close relationship after that, this doctor and I. He took care of me until the day that I left Panama.
Tell me a little bit about how baseball came into your life. At what age?
Well, I started playing baseball about 6. And I just picked up a broomstick and just started swinging it. I didn't know which hand, you know, it hit from, so I just stood at the plate on the left side, and that's how I became a hitter, because the only two things I do in life, left-handed, is hit and play golf. Everything else, I'm right-handed. And, you know, just it came to me so easy, you know, hitting, that as I grew and continued playing, I seemed to have gotten a lot better, more than the other kids that I was playing against.
What was it that took you out of Panama? Tell me about that path as well.
Well, the lady who delivered me on the plane also became my godmother. And she was living in New York. And she was a nurse working at St. Luke's Hospital in New York. And she had heard that my dad was abusing me. When she came back for vacation, she heard that my dad was abusing me. And she wanted to get me out of that life. And so she paid my dad to let me go with her, come back with her to the States. But he didn't at first, and then he accepted money later on to have her bring me here and put me in school and get me away from all the turmoil that I was going through at home. So it was a blessing for me.
Yeah, you know, when something like that happens, a child as young as you were, I'm sure, could feel rejection. Was that a part of what you thought about, or were you just happy to be out of it?
Well, I felt rejection. I felt, why doesn't he like me? Pretty decent student in school. I never caused problems. I did everything that I was told to. But for some reason, I think one of the reasons is that my mom treated me so, you know, like her little boy ever since I got sick with rheumatic fever. And he didn't like that. You know, I was taking away from him a lot of my mom's feelings and tenderness, and he just didn't like that about me. So he just became, you know, he became a hateful dad. So I shouldn't say dad, I should say father, because not everyone can be a dad.
We got about 30 seconds before we have to break, but did you keep that inside you as pent-up anger, or were you able to release it at some point and move on beyond it?
Well, you know, I kept it inside of me until I got on the baseball field, and then I just let it all out. And my friends wondered where it was coming from, and I told them, I said, you know, there are a lot of things I can't do at home, but when I'm on the baseball field, I'm going to do everything I can to be a good player, a better player, and, you know, improve as I go.
Very interesting story, life, and, of course, a great Hall of Fame career. Rod Carew is with us. I recommend this book heartily. It's called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline. Rod Carew is with us here on Sports Byline USA, the Hall of Famer, and we're talking about his book that is out. It's a very insightful, very touching book. It's called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. When you got to New York, and I have talked to my other friends that came from the Caribbean, and they didn't know how to speak English, but they came to the United States to play baseball. What was that like for you? Was it kind of upsetting? Was it so strange to you? Or did you have some type of path beyond the challenges that you normally would have faced coming to a new culture?
Well, you know, I was fortunate to have been living on the Canal Zone, which was a part of the United States. So we were able to speak some English. We spoke Spanish, you know, all the time. But, you know, that was one of the reasons my godmother brought me to New York, so that I could go to school, get an education, and then accomplish, you know, whatever I set out to do, which was, you know, playing baseball. And she was very strict with me. She didn't just let me play the game the first year I got here. She just said, you've got to show me improvement in your English, in your studies, all of your schoolwork before I'm going to allow you to go out and play baseball. I finally did until my senior year, and then I went out to play, and, you know, my coach said, you know, I wasn't good enough. So, and I started playing baseball in the sandlot, and that's where I was discovered.
Who discovered you?
A gentleman by the name of Irv Katz, who his son and I played on a sandlot team together, and he used to come out and watch the games. And he was doing some side work for Irv Stein, who was the scout of the Minnesota Twins. So, you know, he recommended me to Herb, and then Herb recommended me to the Twins. And from there, you know, I signed a contract and was able to move on through the minor league system and end up in the big leagues.
You know, I've talked to a lot of ball players, and I remember Mark McGwire said to me one time when I said, what's your philosophy on hitting it? And he made it very simple. See it, hit it. But for you, you were so expert at hitting the ball. It was once said that you could pick up the rotation of the ball out of the pitcher's hand. Tell me a little bit about you developing your instincts for hitting.
Well, that's something that I tried to do as I got older. When I was younger, I just, you know, saw it and reacted, because that's what hitting is all about. You see it, and like Mark says, you react to it. You react to where the pitch is, inside, outside, up, down. So it taught you the different types of swings that you should have on each pitch that comes up to home plate. And I just started working at it and trying to make myself a tough out. I just didn't want to give away at bats and being an easy out. So I started studying hitting just so that when I went up to home plate, they're going to have their hands full with me. I wasn't going to be an easy out.
When you think about coming up to the major leagues, tell me about that first game you played in.
Oh, God, yeah, that was against Baltimore. They had just won the World Series, and they had, you know, Jim Palmer and Wally Bunker and Dave McNally and all the big guys. And my first at-bat was against Dave McNally. And I was nervous, you know. It was my first big league game. My legs were just shaking under me, and I was able to get a base hit up the middle for my first major league hit. And from there, you know, I started getting more.
And when did you sense, what was that aha moment for Rod Carew when you knew you could play baseball at this level?
Well, you know, when Billy Martin took me and worked with me at second base and taught me how to play second base, and one of the things that he also taught me was not to make alibis. When you make a mistake, you own up to it. Don't try and come up with an alibi, because you don't learn from alibis. You learn from admitting your mistakes and then correcting them later. So once I learned those things, you know, I became more even keel and understanding about what I can do and what I should do at the opportune time.
One thing I do know is, and I've asked young players this, who was it that took you underneath their wing when you came up, whether it be basketball, football, or baseball? For Rod Carew, who was that that took him under his wing?
Well, Tony Oliva. When I went into Yankee Stadium my first time to work out with the Twins, you know, I was a skinny kid. Tony was a skinny kid. So they loaned me one of his jerseys to wear during the practice. And ever since then, we became, you know, very good friends. I went back to the minor leagues, I think, for a year. And the following year, I made it to the big leagues. And he took me as his roommate, and we roomed for 11 years. And he taught me how to carry myself on the field, off the field, and the things that I should do to improve myself. He was always talking to me about the game.
And also, you mentioned about, you know, your early days. Who were some of the managers with the Twins that you played for that really left an impression upon you?
Well, you know, Sam Neely was the main guy, you know, because when I came up in 1967, Mr. Griffith told him to play me at second base. He wants me to be a second baseman. And so, you know, Sam, during spring training, he would always walk behind second base, and he was always talking to me about, you know, saying something, not don't be too quiet, or getting my feet ready, or getting myself in position to feel the ground ball and things like that. So Sam and I became very close. And, you know, after he left, we stayed close friends for a very long time until he passed away.
You were somebody that studied the opposing pitcher, and I'm just wondering, studying it and understanding that opposing pitcher, tell me what you did in breaking that pitcher down so you could be more effective as a batter.
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, I had a bat with facing Catfish Hunter in New York, and Thurman Munson at the time was catching, and Thurman always used to kid with players, you know, throw dirt on their socks or, you know, pull their stirrups and stuff like that during the at-bat. And we came in for a weekend game, and I think I got three or four hits the first night. And so the next day I was standing at the batting cage, and he said to me, well, what are you going to do today, big boy? I said, Thurman, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call every pitch, and I'm going to call the pitch that I'm going to get a base hit. And he says, you're crazy. There's no way he can do that. I said, okay, during my first at-bat, that's when I'm going to do it. Ron Luciano was behind the plate, and we started talking about what this at-bat was going to be. And Luciano looked at me, and he started laughing. He says, can you really do that? I said, I'm going to call the pitches, and I'm going to call the pitch that I'm going to get the base hit on. So his first pitch, when he goes into his windup, as soon as he releases the ball, I yelled, fastball down and in. And Thurman looked at me and he says, you're peeking. You know, you're peeking at my signs. I says, Thurman, I don't have to peek. And I says, let's go with the second pitch. So Catfish goes into his windup, gets ready to release, slider down and in. And I yelled out, slider down and in. So then he jumps up, and he runs out to Catfish, and he says, You know, you just call those two pitches. We ought to knock him down. He comes back and he says, be ready because Pat Fish is going to knock you down. I says, Thurman, he would not knock me down because I've faced him so many times. I've never disrespected him. And I said, he's not going to do it now. And I says, watch this. So I stepped in the batter's box. Luciano gets in there and brushes off the plate. He says, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, watch, Luciano. So then, you know, I get back in the batter's box. And Thurman looks up at me and says, don't be peeking at my signs. I says, I don't need to peek at your signs. I said, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. So listen up. So Catfish goes into the windup, gets ready to release. I said, fastball right side, double down the left field line. And that's what happened. So then the next day when I saw him, he said, how'd you do that? You know, how'd you call all those pitches? So I pulled out my little black book because this was my way of keeping notes on pitchers and the sequence of pitches that they always threw me. And Catfish, that always threw me a fastball, then a slider, and then he went away with a fastball. So it was easy to, you know, to call the pitches that way.
We're talking with Rod Carew about baseball, about his outstanding career, and also about his book. Again, I urge you to check it out, One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. We continue on Sports Byline. Rod Carew is with us on Sports Byline USA. He had 15 consecutive seasons hitting 300 or better, and only Ty Cobb, Stan Musial, and Honus Wagner exceeded that feat. You, Tony Gwynn, and only a handful of others were players that could hit for average and could hit, as you said, you know, knowing what was going to happen and how to do it. And I have a quote here from Ken Holtzman. He said, he has an uncanny ability to move the ball around as if the bat were some kind of magic wand. What is the consistency of all good, successful contact hitters?
Well, understanding what we're up there to do. And like I said, tracking the baseball and know that if it's outside, we need to take it up the middle to the left field side of the plate. And if the ball is in, you have to react and use your hands more aggressively to pull the ball, you know, to right field. So location dictated what we do as far as the way we handle pitches up at the home plate.
Let me ask you about a couple of people, and I want to get your immediate impressions of them. Harmon Killebrew, who I got to know when he was playing with the Washington Senators, and I always found him to be such a gentleman, but also a great power hitter.
One of the nicest people you ever want to meet. And the thing about Harmon and I is, my first year, he used to call me Rookie. And then my second year, he said to me, well, I can't call you Rookie anymore, so I have to call you Junior. So that's what he ended up calling me Junior. And we used to go out sometimes just on ice cream eating dates. You know, he told me that he could eat a lot of ice cream. And I told him, not until you meet me. I said, I'm going to out-eat you in every form, you know, and I did. And he was surprised, you know. And one of the greatest things that I learned about Harmon is that he treated everyone the same way, you know. And he said to me, Junior, he says, remember that it doesn't cost anything to be nice. So in turn, he wanted me to treat people nice. And that's something that I've tried to do, you know, with my life and my career.
Tell me about Nolan Ryan.
Oh, Nolan Ryan. He changed my hitting stance. You know, I used to stand straight up, and then I started chasing Nolan Ryan's fastballs, you know, high fastballs, and I couldn't catch up. And I became, I think, number 29 on his list in punching out and striking out. So then I made some adjustments, and, you know, I lowered my body. And I kind of forced him to bring the fastball down because when it's down, it doesn't have that hop that it does when it's up. And so I started getting base hits against him. And One time he yelled out at me from the pitcher's mound, "Stand up." And I said, I yelled back at him, "No, I'm staying down," you know, because I wasn't going to ruin a good thing, you know. But there is another guy that I'll tell you, he's one heck of a human being.
Another guy that you got to know, and I'd be interested in what your impression was of him, and that was Reggie Jackson.
Oh, he's my buddy. And, you know, Reggie's the one that named this book. You know, we asked him to write a little byline in the back, and then he said something about, you know, one tough out, and then we asked him if we could use it to name the book. And he says, yeah. So that's where we got the name of the book from, Reggie. Reggie is a great individual. Whether people believe it or not, he would give you the shirt off his back. And, you know, I'm so happy that he's a friend. And I just want to shout out to him. Congratulations on his first granddaughter, because my wife and I just had our first granddaughter about 2.5 years ago. So he's going to see how spoiled you can get that baby, you know, when they're there with you all day and you're having fun with them. They're the greatest things, the gift that God can give.
Well, I've known him for a very long time. We've had some very interesting conversations because I know his personality. He was a big competitor, no doubt about that. I just talked with him yesterday, and I told him I was going to be talking to you, and he said, be sure to send my best. Let me ask you about going from Minnesota to the Angels, because that was a little bit of a culture shock, I suppose. I mean, obviously, you'd been with the Twins, you had been to California before, but the whole atmosphere on the West Coast is different than the Midwest. How did you deal with it, and what did you think?
Well, it was Minnesota was really small, really quiet, and California was, you know, a little bit busier. But I understood that baseball at the time to me was a business, not a game. And contrary to what people thought about Mr. Griffith getting rid of me, you know, he asked me first if it was okay if I would take a trade, because I had that 10-year with one team bonus that we called it. And so I could say yes or no. So he said he wanted to trade me to a team where I was going to be comfortable, where I was going to be making as much money as guys like Pete Rose and some of the other guys, but because he couldn't pay me that kind of money. So I told him, it's fine. You know, this is whatever you decide, it's fine. But I never wanted to leave there. He didn't want to trade me, but, you know, in a sense, he was looking out for me as one of his top players that he could get something for.
This book, One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs, is about Rod Carew and his playing career, but also his personal life as well. And in this book, you recount about your 18-year-old daughter's fight with leukemia. She lost that fight, and how that experience reshaped your entire outlook and future. Briefly take me through that.
Well, you know, when I was in baseball, I was not very easy with writers. I didn't really feel comfortable with the guys that were following the game, because I felt like everything you said, you know, they took it and they blew it up and made something out of it. So then there's some distrust that started to leak into that. And you know, when Michelle was sick, she told me, she said, "Daddy," she says, "you know, I would really like you to come out of your shell and talk to the reporters and talk about helping other kids with the same disease that I have. And that's all I'm going to ask you to do." So I promised her that as long as I lived, I was going to participate in everything from the Leukemia Society to the Lymphoma Society, and any way that I can help kids and make kids better, that's what I'm going to do until the day I die. That's what I will always do. So and she changed my mind.
Yeah, and when you went through that, was there one experience aside from just that one that really kind of changed your life a little bit, that you learned something about yourself, Rod, that you would not have learned otherwise?
Yeah, I was, you know, I was riding down the elevator one day, and there's this little girl. She was going downstairs with her parents to the gift shop, and I think she was about 6 years old. And she has her pole that she's hanging on to. And then we started talking, and she spoke Spanish. And since I'm bilingual, I was able to hold a conversation with her. And then she told me in Spanish, Dios me vas a matar. God is going to kill her. And I said, oh, no, God's not going to kill you. I said, God's going to save you. He's going to make you better. You know, and I never forgot that, because it seems like, you know, people are always saying that God's going to do this and God's going to do that, or, you know, it may not be the right thing. And here's a little girl telling me this about God. And, you know, and I have faith. I've always had faith that all good things come from Him. So I told her, no, he's gonna save you. He's going to take care of you. And she says, okay. And then she got off the elevator with this big smile and this big wave, you know. Things like that touches you, you know, and that touched me for a very long time.
Another twist in your life came when you found out that you needed a new heart, and you were able to get one. And that even had a twist to itself, because it wasn't a stranger's heart, really, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know, I met this young man at school where my son and my daughter went to school. And he was just running around the school area waiting for the basketball game to start, because my son played on the basketball team. And he came up to me and he says, you're Rod Carew, aren't you? I says, yeah. I says, who are you? He says, my name is Conrad. And he says, when I grow up, I'm going to be an athlete. He's all excited, you know. I says, okay, be an athlete, but make sure you study in school and get good grades. He says, oh, no, I will. And I think he was about 11 years old. And I hadn't seen him after that until the recent times when he was having some trouble. And he came around to save my life. And it's the darndest thing, because, you know, I hadn't seen this little boy for maybe 18 years. And, you know, he went on to become an athlete. He played with the Jets, and he played with the Ravens. And then he was out waiting to possibly talk to New England, and he was working out every day, and then he had an aneurysm. He was working out and then had an aneurysm, called his dad, and his dad told him that he should go to the emergency room right away. So he did, and from there, you know, they did everything they could to save him, but they couldn't. And he ended up dying right around when I was looking for a heart and a kidney. And God bless him. You know, his parents were hoping that his heart and his kidney would go to a good person. So they were happy when I got it. And We became good friends, and Conrad runs around with me wherever I go now. Got a Maserati in my chest, you know, not a Volkswagen. You know.
What a great, great story. We only have 90 seconds left, but when you think back on your life and your career, is there just one moment that is engraved in Rod Carew's mind that he'll never, ever forget?
Yes. The day when I accepted God into my heart, I remember going to church, my wife and I, and we're getting rebaptized by Pastor Rick. And I'll never forget that, because I think that has also allowed me to open up myself more and give more of myself to people.
You know, in the years that I have known you, every time you've been on with me to talk about a book, and you've written other books as well, I've always come away inspired and also so thoroughly joyful about you and your life. And I think for someone to live a life like you have, especially from where you came from, says an awful lot about Rod Carew's character. I really appreciate you sharing your story with you and talking about this book. Thank you very much, Rod.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to maybe save a life or two out there, you know, by someone reading the part of this book where we talk about the heart and organ donations.
Rod Carew with us, Hall of Famer. Again, 19 seasons, started out the first 12 with Minnesota, then 7 with the Angels. And he is part of the 3,000 hit club. He had 3,053 hits. But listen to this career batting average, .328. He led the American League in hitting 7 times, became only the 4th player to win a batting crown without hitting a home run. And I hope that you'll check out this book. It's an excellent read, and I think you can tell from the stories that he shared how special it is. It's called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.